If you like that song, check out the Rhythmine album by CC Top. It's really good. Some of the best guitar tone I've ever heard on an album, if you like that kind of music. Today, let's not talk about code. Let's talk about the person behind the code, specifically as it relates to children. 2016 was the year that I had a child for the very first time. And to be honest with you, I was pretty... I wouldn't say spooked. I was pretty nervous about the entire thing, but not necessarily for the typical reason. My wife and I were 30 or 31 at the time. We were entirely prepared. We were financially prepared. We were mentally prepared. We weren't 15-year-olds. You know, it was the time to do it. But nonetheless, when I did find out, it's almost like this, it's almost like being knocked down by a huge wave. Not in a bad way, once again, because we were trying for a baby, to be frank. So it's not in that way, but it's just the reality of you are going to switch from this one state of being to a whole new state. And that's kind of how it is when you have a child for the first time. I think of it almost like in three different phases. You have your childhood phase, and that's not just until you're 15. I kind of think of that in many ways as birth all the way up until the point you have a baby. And then once you have children, you enter the next phase, and then you enter your senior phase. But yeah, even when I was 25 or 26, I still kind of felt a little bit in the kid stage. You know, you're in this state where you can do anything you want. If you want to go to Waffle House at 2 a.m, you completely can. And from personal experience, once you have a baby, you can't anymore. So enjoy it while you can. So I wrote a handful, maybe about 10 different little notes here. If you already have children, this is going to be common sense, or you might even be so much further ahead than me that you're just going to look down and laugh at me, and that's totally okay. But I would say this video is kind of geared towards, I'm going to say the programmer just because you guys are programmers, but it's really geared towards anyone. But I would say this is for the 20-something male programmer who just found out he's going to have a child, and if you're anything like me, you're just curious about the entire process. What is it like? You know, we watch movies all the time that show this process, and it's completely bogus. None of it's true. I will tell you my idea of when a woman goes into, and of course it's going to be different for everyone. But my impression of how it was based on movies I'd seen is that everyone's just eating dinner, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden the woman just starts going, ho, ho, and then everyone flips out, and from that point forward, you are trying to race to the hospital as quickly as you can. Going forward doesn't work in the car, so you have to go in reverse, full speed, through town, through traffic, to get to the hospital, while the mom, or the future mom, is freaking out in the back seat, holding her belly, right? This was my impression of it, and in reality, it was much more calm. And when it was time, we went to the hospital, and we sat in the hospital waiting area for like an hour. And we were just staring at our phone the whole time. So a little bit different than I had imagined. But now, once we got checked into our room, once again, I was under the impression that this was all going to go very fast. And again, maybe for some women it does. I've heard a lot of stories where they were in, and the baby was out within 45 minutes, and they were done. That's not how it worked for us. For us, we just kind of hung out. Once again, we're in the hospital room, and we're having lunch, and then we had dinner, because it just wasn't happening the way we had expected, even though my wife's water had already broken. There was just a lot of time. We took a nap, in fact. None of this matched up with what I expected in my head. And I'll tell you another thing that doesn't get talked about very much, but one thing I didn't realize is that this is actually the process where the woman goes into the hospital and you go in with her. It's a very, very scary thing. And I don't know why, but it just never occurred to me that this is the case. I knew going into labor was considered painful, but I always just had it in my head that, yes, it's painful for those final 5 minutes, and then you're done and everything's great. But I think the reality is that a lot of women are almost terrified of it, and it's excruciatingly painful. When we were in the hospital, we asked one of the nurses, like, what to expect in terms of pain. And Looking back, I remember thinking, wow, that was a harsh thing to say. But actually, I really respect and appreciate that she was entirely honest. And she said, the process of going into labor is equivalent in terms of pain, excruciating pain. It's equivalent to the feeling of somebody ripping your arm off. And as she said that, the other nurses backed her up. So I think that's about right. And of course, this is assuming that you don't reach for some kind of pain-numbing medicine, which a lot of women do. Now, if you're curious about what actually happens in the room, like when it's ready to happen, things ended up going a little bit differently for us because my wife's water had broken. What do I say there? Let's rephrase it. My wife's water broke, .. And literally 24 hours went by and nothing was happening, at least not well enough for it actually to start. So they ended up having to say, look, we have to do a C-section. And I think it's something related to once the water breaks, the risk of infection goes up and up. And once it gets past a day, it's a little bit too dangerous. So they say, we need to do a C-section. And at the point they told us this, it was like 10 o'clock at night. At the point they told us, they wanted to bring my wife into the room and begin the procedure. This was all about 20 minutes. So they tell us, you're getting a C-section. We're going to get started in 20 minutes. And I'll probably remember this forever. And when they said this, my wife immediately gave me this look of, oh my God, it's happening. It was a mixture of exhaustion because we'd been up for so long. It was a mixture of just being overwhelmed. And you have to understand, like, when you have your first trial, I'm sure when you have your second and third, you're kind of a pro at this and you know what's going on. But for the first one, it may be different for you, but it's very, very overwhelming. There's so many things that could go wrong. Once again, you're switching to this new phase of your life. It's a lot. So they bring us into the room. They set her up, and then they came and told me, you can come in and sit with her. So I go in there. They start the process. And I'll tell you one thing that was kind of rough. And who am I to complain? None of this was happening to me. I'm just sitting here trying to be supportive. But one thing that was rough, and if your wife or your partner ends up getting a C-section, be prepared for this. They have to cut her open, right? And to do that, they're going to use some kind of laser type thing to open her up, and you're going to smell it. You're going to get this huge surge of like burning skin, to be honest. It's kind of hard to take in. But once again, who are you to complain? You're not the one having your body opened up. So then they do a few things, and they're about to pull the baby up, and they ask me if I wanted to peek over the curtain, because I think they do this as a courtesy to the man. You kind of stay behind a curtain so you're not seeing your wife completely or your spouse completely opened up. But anyways, when they were about to pull the baby out, they said, would you like to look over the curtain? And of course, I said yes, once I got permission from my wife. I look over the curtain, and my wife is completely opened up. But you know what's interesting? It was other than the baby, it's all kind of blurry to me. It's almost like my mind, to protect itself, blurred out all of the red. Or maybe I was just so focused on the baby that everything around it I couldn't see. Because really, at that point, like I said, they completely open the woman up so they can take the baby out. But I don't really have any memory of it. What I do have a memory is of them pulling the baby out, and the baby is completely white. It looks like if you took bags and bags of flour and you covered the baby in the flour. That's what it looked like. And all I remember is just saying, oh my God, oh my God. It's probably the most overwhelming surge of adrenaline I've ever had in my life when you see that happen. It's something you are not prepared for until it happens the first time. And I will tell you, if we can fast forward a little bit, if you don't have children yet, you know how like when your friends do have a baby, suddenly, you know, the joke is that the only thing they ever post about is the baby. And all they care about is sharing photos all the time. And it gets kind of annoying, right? As their friend, you think, oh, don't you have anything else in your life besides the baby? I can tell you, you will respect it quite a bit more once you do have children, because the love you will feel for this thing very quickly, we'll talk about that more in a minute, but the love you will feel for this baby so quickly is greater than anything you've ever experienced. It's greater than how you feel about your spouse. It's different, but it's much more extreme. It's greater than how you feel about your family members or your parents. It's this mixture of your creation and seeing yourself in them. It's a mixture of the protective feelings you have towards it. It's all of the above. You know, it's built into us to love this thing more than anything else in the world. So if you don't have kids and you do see your friends sharing these photos, just try to appreciate they're doing it because they love this thing more than anything they have ever experienced in their life. And they can't help but want to take 9,000 photos of them every single week. And you know what's funny? When I think back to when I was a little toddler, there's probably 30 photos of me total that I have to hunt through some box to find. But already, my daughter Sunny is 8 months old today, in fact. But already, there's like 12,000 photos. It's almost absurd how many we take. And it gets even worse because you'll take 20 photos of the same pose, just trying to find one where she's smiling or something like that, but you don't always delete them. So I will go through Google Photos, and there will be like 400 photos taken in one day. And I'm going to have to filter through that or do something about it. But it's really nice that she's going to have 50,000 photos, and I had 30 photos, and probably you had 30 photos from your childhood. Now, let's move on to some things to be aware of, again, as a future dad. First, I will say, as I understand it and from what I've experienced, every single baby is very unique and they respond very differently. Some of them sleep all the time, others never sleep. So it's not like I can tell you what to expect. It'll just depend upon your DNA, I guess. So with that in mind, some things to be aware of. One, I think people have a tendency to prepare you for hell, so to speak. Have you ever talked to somebody with kids and you tell them you're going to have a baby, and they immediately say something like, oh, get ready, because your life's over, or something like that. They're just joking, and I totally understand what they mean, because everything is definitely going to change. Well, it's going to change, and then it's not going to change. We'll get to that in a minute. But there's no two ways about it. You're going to feel extreme surges of stress and anxiety and selfishness, even sometimes, when it's 4 in the morning or 3 in the morning and the baby is crying desperately. And all you want to do sometimes is just go back to how it was before. And you will envy your younger self where you could just sleep until 10 or 11 and nobody would come knocking on your door. Those days are in fact over. But yeah, having said that, I don't like that people have the tendency to try to scare you. If you want the truth from me, it's hard work. You won't have the freedom that you had before, but the payoff is every time you look at this child, once again, you're going to feel so much more love than you've ever felt in your life that you don't care about any of the other stuff. The fact that you have to get up a number of times in the middle of the night, all of that is going to just fade away when you look at the child. Okay, next up, this note is specifically for the dads listening, and I think it's a very easy trap to fall into. I think sometimes men have a tendency to imagine that the mom is in charge of everything and they just get to take over when the mom has to do something else, right? You even hear dads refer to it as babysitting. I would say don't ever use that term. It's not a good term. It's going to offend the woman because you're not babysitting. It's your child. And you have just as much responsibility over the day-to-day as the woman. Now, of course, however your family is set up, there's a division of labor that needs to happen. But if the structure you have set up is that you as the partner go to work and then the mom stays home and raises the kid, kind of a traditional setup, that's totally fine. But do not fall into this trap where you're not involved or you're only involved every once in a while when you need to babysit for 30 minutes. That's not going to go over well. This is not the 1950s. Yes, you had a long day at work and you're tired, but the mom just had a long day of work as well. And you need to appreciate that, and you both need to put equal time in here. So I would say it's unbelievably important to keep everything fair. For example, very likely the mom will be up a lot at night because the baby has to nurse. Now, it's possible that you might be able to sleep through that. Again, it's different with every baby. I know some dads who have to stay up quite a bit in the middle of the night. In my particular case, I'm able to sleep through the night because the baby only wakes up 2 or 3 times and nurses and goes right back to sleep. So there's not much I can do. But on the flip side, understand that in the morning, the mom is going to be very, very tired. So maybe you can take over for a number of hours so that she can sleep in a little longer and you can dress them and feed them if they're eating at that point and play with them so that they can catch up a little bit. That's what I mean by keeping it fair. Don't allow things to get lopsided where, once again, you go to work and you're taking care of your end of the game, so now she just needs to do everything else. It doesn't work that way. Do not fall into that trap. Next on that note, I know a lot of men and a lot of dads will talk about feeling like they can't connect to the baby. Like, I've heard lots of stories about how the dad doesn't fully latch on or connect with the baby until maybe they're almost a toddler, until the point when they say daddy is usually what the books will tell you is once the baby says daddy, that's when the father gets hooked. I think this is fair, but also I think you should think about why you're not connecting before that point. I can tell you, for me personally, I feel like I connected with the baby almost instantly. But I know, once again, because some dads have a tendency to be a bit more distant, they feel like they never get to know the baby. And again, this is something you need to think about yourself, is why you're not connecting. And it's probably because you're not doing enough of the work. I read a really good book. Who was it by? You know who? It was by I think his name's Michael Lewis. And I'm sorry, I can't remember what the name was. You can read it in a day or two. And he had a really good quote. He said, I'm paraphrasing and ruining it here, but he implied that you connect by doing the work. It sounds so common sense, but it's very, very true. Do the work. Get them dressed every night. Read to them. Get them in their pajamas. Don't always assume, once again, that it's the mom's job to do it. It's your job equally as much. And if you're not doing it, it will be harder for you to connect. But you do the work. And I promise, once you do connect, it's unlike anything you've ever known before. So in other words, don't be the stereotypical dad. Your dad might have been that way. My dad might have been that way. That doesn't mean we have to be that way. Very, very clearly, a more engaged father is good for the entire family, and it's good for you. Now, we're close to finishing up, but one thing I was immediately concerned about was I work from home. I work at Lyricast from home, and I was worried about, will I be able to get work done? Because if the baby's crying all the time, how can I get work done? Am I going to have to get a separate office? Like, how am I physically going to get this job done when it requires so much of my time, when I have a baby out there as well? And I'm trying to help my wife. So how is this going to work? I can tell you, for us specifically, once again, everyone's different. But for us, for the very first 2 months, the baby slept so, so much. So in fact, we ended up having a lot of downtime where the baby sleeps for 2 hours at a time, wakes up, nurses, goes back to sleep for another 2 hours. You know, so I actually had quite a bit of time to work on projects when I didn't think I would. Now, I can tell you, she's 8 months old, and things are beginning to be different. She's up for much larger periods of time. Getting her to take a nap is very, very hard sometimes. We sometimes have to wear her out by putting her in this little mobile, so she'll just tire herself out, because otherwise she wants to do nightcaps. So if that's a concern of yours, just note that after the baby is born, he or she is going to sleep for a lot of every day. Maybe, though, once again, maybe, because other babies are not that way. So it just sort of depends, you know, it's like playing roulette. Is it red or black? You don't know what you're going to get. So I want to close with two things. One, yes, your life's going to change, but do as much as you can to integrate the baby into your life. So it's not like suddenly you aren't allowed to go out anymore, or you're not allowed to go to lunch or to a restaurant. Yes, still do that. Just bring the baby along. I think sometimes people get into this defensive thing where they think, well, I'm not allowed to go out because I have to take care of this baby. No, integrate the baby into your current life. Now, if your thing is going to nightclubs every night before the baby, well, then, yeah, things are going to change because you can't do that. But other than that, do your best to just integrate the baby into your existing life as best as you can. Now, finally, I'll close on a few opinions that my wife and I developed as we had the baby. And these can sometimes be a little confrontational because parents all have very specific views of what's best, what you should do. Should the baby sleep here? Should you nurse or not? Should you let them sleep in the bed? All of that stuff. People get very touchy about it. So this is just the conclusion that we've come to. You should make up your own mind. Now, one thing as you watch movies, this is kind of shoved down your throat, is this idea that you got to get the nursery all set up because that's where the baby's going to sleep every night. And I know tons of people do that. One thing I can tell you is that it felt very wrong to put the baby in this other room. You know, I think about when I got a puppy for the first time, the idea of forcing the puppy into his own room all night just wasn't going to happen. The puppy wanted to be with us. It was scared. It was a whole new place. It was dark. I would let the puppy sleep in the bed. Yet, for some reason with babies, we kind of have this idea that we put them in this other room, and then you shut the door. And then, worse, a lot of people think, oh, you just let them cry it out. Because if you come to them every single time they cry, they learn that crying gets you to come to them, and they're going to do it more. And I feel like that's such a grown-up way to approach it, and it really feels gross to me, honestly. This baby has been alive for 20 days or for 40 days. Of course they want to be near you, and of course they want to be near the mom as much as humanly possible. That's the most obvious natural thing in the world. So forcing them to be in this crib in a totally separate room in the dark rather than with you and with the mom feels really, really weird to me. So we let the baby sleep in the bed. You have to take a few precautions to make sure it's entirely safe and there's no chance of the blanket coming over their head, but you can do that really, really easily. And then even to this day, usually the way it works is we'll put her into a crib in the bedroom around 8 o'clock while we're still up, but she's fallen asleep. And then once we go to bed, she will wake up around midnight. And at that point, she comes into the bed and then sleeps with us for the rest of the night. People have such huge opinions on this. To me, it feels like the most natural thing in the world. And once again, you want to make sure that you connect as much as possible in those early stages. So it seems like common sense to me. And now that I look back, once again, the idea of a separate room to put the baby, and then when the baby cries, you just let them cry it out and self-soothe is the term. It just seems really, really gross to me. But once again, your job is to make up your own mind with your spouse, and you'll come to different conclusions, and that's entirely okay. Just like programming, when it comes to parenting, everyone has very, very firm opinions. And the best you can do is just take it all in and then make up your own mind.